Good afternoon and welcome on in to Kildare Focus. You're listening to Kildare's KFM. It's Thursday, the 26th of October. Caoimhe Hearney here with you until 3. Coming up first on today's show, we will be hearing about a report that found low falls in the home of less than 2 metres make up 62% of all major trauma cases. At 2.20, Dr. Jenny Gork from the University of Galway will be telling us how listening to music can help reduce stress. That's according to a study. We'll be talking about films portraying evil characters as having visible differences such as scarring or disfigurement and how that can impact on stereotypes. And then lastly, we'll hear from Caroline Reedy of the Hate Your Suite. A woman has been fired from the Irish office of an Israeli tech company over social media posts where she described Israel as a terrorist state. So we'll talk about what posting on social media could do to your career or potentially could end up losing your job. So if you want to get in touch with anything on the show, 045 898 999. You can email me to studio@kfmradio.com or you can send us a text or WhatsApp.
Kildare Focus with Caoimhe Hearney. Text or WhatsApp 0833 97 97 97.
Now, homes are more dangerous than our roads when it comes to suffering trauma. That's according to a new audit report which has found that homes were the location for 55% of trauma cases. That's according to the Major Trauma Audit National Report for 2021. Well, I'm joined on the line now by Professor Conor Deasy. He's a clinical director and emergency and acute care at Cork University Hospital. He's also a clinical lead in the Major Trauma Audit, and he is a professor of emergency medicine at UCC and CUH. Good afternoon, Conor.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Delighted to have you on today, Conor. When I read this article yesterday, I was fairly shocked that so many of the traumas would come from within the home, because it's not a place that you ever think is dangerous, so to say.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've been highlighting it now for the last number of years, where what we're finding is that people aren't necessarily conscious of the various trip hazards, the various lighting problems that there are in their home that cause them to trip over things because it's poorly lit, pets running around the home that they subsequently trip over because they don't realise the pet is under their feet. And we've been highlighting this because it is the most common cause of severe life-threatening or life-changing injury in Ireland as it currently stands. So what we're advising, and we put some advice out on our website at www.noca.ie, noca.ie, there's an infographic there that will hopefully give people out there an understanding of some of the things that they should be thinking about in their homes to make them safer places. So, for example, if you've got a mat, it's inevitable that somebody's going to trip over that mat unless it's glued down, and that then reduces the trip hazard risk. If you've got a cluttered area going between your bedroom and your toilet, such that at 4 o'clock in the morning you trip and you end up on the floor there until somebody finds you the following morning, then that's awful, and it's frightening for older people who end up in that very scenario where they trip over a cluttered space on their way to the toilet in the middle of the night, and somebody finds them, their relative finds them, the home health finds them the following morning. But at that stage, they've spent the night on the floor, they're cold, they've had muscle breakdown that injures their kidneys. So they're in a far worse state than they were, than they needed to be. And it is a fall that is preventable. It is, you know, by just removing that clutter, you can make it a safer transition from going to the bed to the toilet at night time. And again, the importance of wearing a personal alarm so that if you do end up on the floor with a broken hip, you can press that alarm button and activate a response and won't end up being stuck there in the cold for hours on end waiting for somebody to realise that you haven't answered your door or you haven't answered your phone.
It's a very scary prospect for anyone thinking about their own house and clutter, because I think most people probably do, you know, have clutter or maybe shoes outside on their landing or in their hall. And it's not something you think about when it comes to, you know, risk. But obviously you've pointed out the risks there. The report, as I said in the intro, found that low falls of less than 2 metres make up 62% of all major trauma cases. And then by comparison to that, Connor, road trauma was experienced in 16% of the cases studied. And of course, the audit examined over 4,000 cases across 26 participating hospitals. So obviously, falls is the big one.
Falls is a big one. Now, that's not to undermine or underplay the role of road trauma. Okay, the Road Safety Authority are doing great work at trying to reduce our speed. There's been carnage on our roads this year, for example, with deaths. So there is a requirement for us to pay attention to our behaviours on the roads. But what we're shining a light on in this report is home safety. We're also shining a light on donation of blood products, because we're really dependent on blood donors donating blood so that we have blood to give to patients who come in from major trauma, who need life-sustaining blood transfusions to get them to theatre and help them survive theatre. And what we have found is since COVID, and the blood donation services will report this, since COVID, people's habits of going along and donating a unit of blood have changed, and they've become the blood donation services will tell us, and we experienced it only last week actually, that their blood product availability decreased to dangerously low levels. So we're urging, as part of this report, we're urging people to get out there and get back to their previous habits of donating blood. But if there are other people out there who would be willing to do so, it would be really valuable. It's a really special and vital thing to do in terms of supporting those around us who need blood, not just for trauma, but people need blood if they, for example, have had a baby and there's a massive hemorrhage associated with having a baby. So young mums are particularly reliant on there being good blood product availability. Cancer patients are reliant on there being good blood product availability. And so it really behoves all of us to look up when we can go and give a blood blood donation so that is available for people who need it in hospitals.
Okay, and I'll give out the upcoming clinics in the area as well at the end here, Connor. But just back to the trauma patients, what would be the average age of a trauma patient?
Yeah, so that in and of itself is interesting. Now, our report shows it's 61 years of age, okay? 20 years ago, if you were to look at this, there probably would have been young men in their 20s who've rolled their car or who've rolled their motorcycle, who've come off their motorcycle. Nowadays, what we're seeing, partly because of us living healthier lives, longer lives, what we're seeing is that many more older patients are sustaining major life-threatening or life-changing injury. And that's happening. Some of that is preventable, okay? Some of it is preventable in terms of home safety, road safety, and so on. And what we're trying to get out there is those preventable, messages that help us prevent these traumas occurring.
Okay, and if we talk about preventable measures then, usually you think about risk assessments and you think about the workplace. Many workplaces would carry out risk assessments. But what you're really saying in this campaign is to say, well, maybe if you're a carer or if you have an elderly parent or maybe in your own home, you could have a scan around and say, well, where are the risk factors here?
That's exactly it. So stairwells are a particular area of risk. Steps, stairs, poorly lit, dimly lit areas, rugs, mats that are trip hazards, flexes, you know, the electricity wire that feeds into a lamp, small animals, pets, okay, fantastic for well-being, fantastic for company, but they are a trip hazard. So we encourage people to have their pet have a bell on their neck so that you know where it is at any given time and you're not going to trip over that pet. These are relatively straightforward things, common sense really, making sure that rails are secure, making sure that there's non-slip rails, non-slip tiles and non-slip mats and rails in the toilet and in the bathroom. These are all common sense. When you read them, you go, oh yeah, that makes absolute sense. but oftentimes we just don't think it's going to happen to us. We never think that we're going to be the person or our loved one is going to be the person who's going to have that trip and have that fall and be stuck in a situation where they're not able to move and get to a telephone and they're getting cold, and it is awfully frightening in that situation for those older adults in particular who find themselves in that situation. So the trick is to get in and preempt it.
Okay.
Remove those trip hazards, wear a personal alarm that you can activate and that's on you at all times, that you can activate to call for help when needed.
Okay, Professor Conor Deasy, Clinical Director at the Emergency and Acute Care in Cork University Hospital and Clinical Lead of the Major Trauma Audit. Thanks very much, Conor, for joining us
this afternoon.
And just to give out those clinics that are coming up in Kildare, the blood donation clinics, there's one in Kilcock that's on the 15th of November, one in Monasterevin and in Clane on the 27th, and also one in Kilcullen on the 29th of November. So if you want to give the Irish Blood Transfusion Service a call and lock in an appointment, you can call 1-800-731-137. That's 1-800-731-137. And as I understand now, they do work on an appointment only basis. So do make a call in advance of that. Social media site that used to be called Twitter is now called X, of course, is implementing video and audio call features. Only some users can access the feature at the moment, and only on Apple devices. The company hasn't officially announced the launch, but did post the words "ready for it" shortly before it appeared. Owner Elon Musk recently said calls would be available on all devices without needing a phone number. So there you go. You can ring people on Twitter. I have to say, or X as it's now called, it's kind of gone to the dogs a little bit, in my opinion anyway. You have to pay for everything. You know, everything is, you can't send a message because you're not approved or whatnot. So definitely from a journalistic point of view, you don't really use it now because you're kind of, you can't message people. So yeah, I'm not too concerned about the Twitter world at the moment. Now, if you've watched Game of Thrones, and many people have, a row of trees in Northern Ireland made famous by the Game of Thrones may have to be felled. People know this, of course. They're like, the trees kind of come up and meet and they intertwine over a road. You'd think maybe they could just close the road, keep it as a like a, you know, historic site or a place to go. A report into tree safety, though, said that by the North's Department of Infrastructure has found the majority of them are in poor health, with 11 to be felled. And that's according to the Coleraine Chronicle. The trees known as the Dark Hedges depicted King's Road, which was the main highway through the fictional world of Westeros. So there you go. If you haven't seen Game of Thrones, I would definitely recommend you to watch it. Now, a few messages coming in here. I have to say, a very big best of luck, I suppose, to Ailish Cooney and James Condon getting married this weekend in Wicklow, and that comes in from all of their family and friends. Coming up after the break, we'll be speaking about music and how it can reduce stress, so don't go away.
Kildare Focus with Caoimhe Harney. Text or WhatsApp 0833 97 97 97.
Now, listening to music can help to reduce stress and boost positive emotions in adults. That's according to research by Queen's University Belfast. The study showed that no matter what the age an adult is, music helps to lower stress levels. Well, I'm joined on the line now by Dr. Jenny Gourke. She's lecturer in psychology at the University of Galway and also honorary lecturer in health psychology at Queen's University Belfast. Good afternoon, Jenny.
Hi, how are you doing, Caoimhe?
Jenny, I know you were one of the people behind this research.
That's right, yeah. I was the principal investigator on that, and understanding the effects of music across the lifespan really has been the focus of most of my academic career.
Okay. Talk to us then about the findings of this study and I suppose how it's changed people's perspective of music, maybe.
Yeah, so that study is one of quite a few experiments that we've run looking at how people react to music under different conditions. So in this study, we brought people into the lab and we made them feel stressed by telling them that they would have to give a presentation and that they would be evaluated. So it's obviously a very natural response to that, is to be stressed.
Okay.
And then we some people listen to music and other people listened to a radio show. And we compared the effect. So after 10 minutes of listening to music, people felt better, they felt less stressed, they felt less negative, less anxious, and they felt more positive and more positive mood. Whereas people in the other condition felt better too, but not quite to the same extent. So the idea that listening to music helps people feel less stressed probably isn't news to most people, because we spend most of our, well, people spend between 15% and 45% of their waking hours listening to music, right? We wouldn't do that if it wasn't having some kind of positive effect. But what we were trying to demonstrate was the conditions under which it might help and the extent to which it might help. And one of the breakthroughs in that particular study was that much of the scientific evidence up to that point had been looking at kind of typically relaxing music, like classical music. And that wasn't really, we felt, representative of what kind of music people are listening to day to day. So what we found was that actually listening to whatever music you do like, whether that's Ed Sheeran or Rage Against the Machine or classical music, that it had a positive effect on people's ability to deal with a stressful situation.
Okay, so your own music will make you less stressed, whatever you like.
Yeah, so that's what we found in that study. We also found in other studies that, you know, this classically relaxing kind of ambient music also does help, but it's less about the properties of the music and more about your reaction to it. So your feeling of control, your feeling of choice, and your enjoyment of it.
Okay, so personal taste. Was there any change in terms of the age of people? Like, were younger people more or less stressed when they listened to music, or older people?
We found that it didn't matter really what age group, music had a positive effect. So we compared 18 to 30-year-olds with 60 to 85-year-olds. But we found that in general, older people responded better, whether it was music or whether it was a radio show. And that would make sense for us based on our developmental psychology theories, which just shows that as people get older, they get better at changing their emotions. They get better at regulating negative moods. So they have a lot more skill in that department than young people. And one reason why young people might need more support and might listen to more music is because they're still developing those skills. And music does help develop those emotion regulation skills. But as we age, we get better at that, which is good news all around.
Okay. Well, it's not good news for people like me who have a radio show, because obviously we should just play wall-to-wall music and then people will be more happy.
Well, that's interesting you say that, because actually a new line of investigation I'm pursuing at the moment is looking at how music helps people feel less alone and how it can help with dealing with problems of loneliness.
Okay.
And actually, one aspect of our research is that music maybe isn't quite as good as things like podcasts and talk shows, because it lacks that feeling of kind of direct communication. I mean, you do feel some kind of communication with your favorite musical artists or relating to their lyrics, but it's much more abstract than feeling like there's somebody actually there having a conversation with you, which is the kind of function that talk radio shows and podcasts can have for a lot of people.
Okay, so it's not all bad news for me then, Jenny.
No, you're still in a job.
Thank God. Times of day then, would that matter? Like, you know the way some people like to listen to music in the morning, others in the evening or whatever. Did you look at that at all?
I haven't really in that study, but what we've always kind of been focused on is that actually music is a really goal-based behavior. So people, we're doing some studies at the moment where we're just tapping into random intervals in people's lives. And people tend to listen to music for kind of mood management more when they're alone, so in certain contexts. And then, you know, when they're just trying to have kind of background stimulation, they might be, you know, in transport or going to work or at work. They might listen to different types of music to fulfill different types of functions. So rather than maybe focusing on time of day, it's important to kind of consider the kind of effects or goals somebody is trying to achieve by listening to music, and they are many.
Okay. It's interesting because I read an article somewhere that said that children who listen to music when they're doing, you know, doing their homework, and then when they do a test, if they listen to that same music, they'll remember things better than if no music is playing at all, which is very interesting too.
Yeah, so that's a concept called state-dependent memory. So it's a really kind of fundamental idea in cognitive psychology. So that's true of really anything. So if you, you know, obviously when you're studying, any of the conditions of when you're studying should match the conditions of when you're being asked to recall that information. So if that's listening to the same music, it might also be, you know, there's quite a lot of studies on people who smoke and drink while they're studying, and they perform better if they can smoke and drink during the exam if not.
So, do any colleges allow that? I'm not sure.
No, they don't. They don't. But yeah, this, and also this idea of whether or not music helps with those kind of cognitive or memory tasks really depends on your personality also. So people who are extroverted are so they have more kind of mental stimulation anyway, music is less distracting than it would be to somebody who's more introverted, who prefers a lower level of mental stimulation. They tend to get more distracted by the additional stimulation of music.
Okay, very interesting. What kind of music do you like to listen to, Jenny, to de-stress?
Well, I'm very stressed at the moment because I'm working on a lot of deadlines.
Oh, no.
And I find that when I'm at my most stressed, I definitely return to the music I listened to as a teenager. So I listen to a lot of Rage Against the Machine and Foo Fighters and anything that's really loud and, like, totally takes away my attention from anything else.
Very tranquil.
I can't handle listening to anything tranquil. So it's everything loud and really kind of attention absorbing.
And just when you said that there, the music that you listened to in your teens, I read another article somewhere else that said that most people, their music taste is formed, you know, within their teenage years, and that's kind of what they like for the rest of their life. Do you know anything about that, or have you studied that at all?
Yeah, that's an idea called the reminiscence bump, and it's kind of true in not just in music, but in lots of other fields of study. That kind of that teenage period is a really critical period of development, and there's actually quite a few studies that show that during the pandemic, so when we're experiencing this kind of big global stressor. A lot of people, if you analyze the streaming data from various platforms, a lot of people were listening to music that corresponded with their teenage years, whether or not it was released at that time or it was the kind of music that was popular at that time, even if it was older. So, yeah, it does seem to be a very typical response to stress is to move towards nostalgia. And I don't know why that is. It might just be, again, because it's this period where our emotions are the strongest or the most volatile. And so probably a lot of memory encoding happens at that time. And so we keep being drawn back to that period.
Okay, well, Jenny, thanks for taking time out of your very busy schedule, and hopefully you can listen to some Rage Against the Machine after this interview.
Yeah, going straight on.
Unfortunately, I can't play that song. It's not mainstream enough for us. Dr. Jenny Groark, lecturer in psychology at the University of Galway and honorary lecturer in health psychology at Queen's University Belfast. Thanks very much, Jenny, for joining us. Now, I'd love to know what you think about this one, because a widespread smartphone ban across all primary schools in the country is being considered by the Education Minister. Earlier this year, primary schools in Greystones, County Wicklow, adopted a no smartphone code. And according to Minister Norma Foley, she plans to bring her proposals to Cabinet shortly. So let me know what you think. 0833 97 97 97. Should smartphones be banned in schools? I think they should. If I look back on when I was in school, God, I didn't need any distractions. I was already distracted enough, especially when I went into study. Looking back on the study days, you know, after school study, I was always distracted writing notes, and next thing 2 hours were gone by and I wouldn't have done anything, even though I'd have great intentions. So yeah, I think schools and phones are not a good idea. Maybe if they bring your phone into school, they can take them away and you get them back at the end of the day or something like that. But I think students going around with phones in their pockets texting and on social media all day, surely it would be a severe severe distraction. Now, if you're doing the Dublin City Marathon, which is this Sunday, well, there's just 3 days to go to prepare. So I assume if you're doing it, you're prepared by now. But unfortunately, it does look like it's going to rain. There's 25,000 athletes taking part. It kicks off from Fitzwilliam Street Upper and it will be staggered from 8:40. Numerous road closures will be in place as a result. I will not be taking part in the marathon because I'll be at day two of my friend's wedding. So I'll be in some kind of state, but it won't be from athletics anyway.
Kildare Focus with Caoimhe Hardy.
Now, a woman has been fired from the Irish office of an Israeli tech company over social media posts where she described Israel as a terrorist state in recent days. The employee, who had worked in the Dublin office of Wix for 4.5 years, was fired on Monday following backlash from Israeli colleagues to her comments on the Israel-Hamas conflict. But it opens up a wider discussion around what you post on your social media, your private social media, and what your employers could see, and the potential impacts that could have on your job. Well, I'm joined on the line now by Caroline Reedy. She's an executive director at the HR Suite. Good afternoon, Caroline.
Good afternoon, Caoimhe.
Caroline, sometimes when we're on social media, we see things happening, you know, obviously terrible things happening all across the world. We can be quick maybe to, you know, type, post, without thinking. And I think this story really kind of shows that you really need to think before you post something.
Absolutely. And I think, Caoimhe, you've rightly said, we've kind of forgotten that if we put something on social media or indeed into a group WhatsApp group or one of those forums that people will visibly see it, equal to that comes their reaction to saying, is that appropriate? Is that not appropriate? That's an affront to my dignity and respect, what somebody has said, etc. And it might in turn bring the employee into disrepute or indeed the company by the association. So definitely, I think the real message in this, we don't know the detail of this case. So in general terms, the advice always is, look, be conscious that we have to ensure that our views, our comments, our behaviour, our actions are in keeping with the principles of dignity and respect, diversity and inclusion, and that piece of appreciating what impact we may have by those behaviours and actions.
Okay. In terms of then, and like not focusing specifically on this case, wider obviously cases, but if there is something that you believe, you know, is your opinion and it's on your private work or it's on your private social media, and you have something like, you know, all views are my own or whatnot, are the company within their rights to take these kind of measures and let you go?
So I suppose once it's on a public forum, the all views are my own is just implying that you're not making the statement on behalf of an organisation or an association that you're involved with, etc. But notwithstanding that, if, for example, somebody puts up a derogatory comment, something in, you know, from a breach of dignity and respect, so something that might be really inappropriate from that perspective, the person has done that and that's their actions. And the ripple effect of their actions is somebody may say, well, I can't work anymore with Johnny because Johnny's after putting up a post that's derogatory towards women. And it is obvious that that is implied that he's having a dig at me and I actually can't work with him now. Okay. So it's the ripple effect, I think, of our actions and our behaviours, because all organisations have policies now that basically say you need to treat people with dignity and respect. You need to ensure you've got a very high standard of diversity and inclusion in your behaviours and actions. But if your actions are against that, it's the fact that you might be causing upset to somebody by those actions. And I think we've really increased our awareness that, you know, it's fine to have, everybody's entitled to freedom of speech, etc. But once that isn't something that's going to mean that you're directly targeting a colleague, for example, by, you know, saying, well, I totally have an issue with X community or X belief, that in turn make that a really difficult thing for that colleague to be able to work with you. And I suppose that's happening in the public forums of, you know, all the different forums that are out there. But that's also, we're finding, happening a lot more in, for example, WhatsApp groups, where the company have nothing to do with setting these up. Employees set them up themselves because they might have a social, you know, element to them. Or indeed, sometimes the company is involved in setting them up. But either way, somebody puts a joke that they deem to be funny into about 4 or 5 other WhatsApp groups and landed in the work one as well. But somebody in the work group takes offence, and it's the ripple effect of where that goes then.
Okay, and some of these work groups, of course, depending on the size of your company, but like they could have up on 30, 40, maybe 50 people in them.
Absolutely. And we're finding that, like, even people would say to me, oh my God, you know, when we do training, and training is the be all and end all in my world, because we say that if you give someone a policy, the likelihood of them reading the policy in detail is slim. They might speed read it, but like normally that's as much as they do. But if you do training that's meaningful and you give people examples of, look, if you do this, this is the ripple effect and this could cause an issue, etc. Normally you capture people's imagination where they kind of go, oh God, I never thought about it like that, or I didn't realise, or we're coming into Christmas party season now again, where somebody goes out on the Christmas party, they're under the influence of an intoxicant and they say or do something inappropriate. The same concept applies, where that could become a work issue if that's something that you've done that either causes the company or another colleague, you know, to say, well, look, that behaviour is wholly unacceptable and I can't accept that that behaviour happened. So we're finding the lines are, they're not blurring because we have clarity in relation to actions and behaviours, but they're definitely becoming a lot more awareness to the person on what is the knock-on implication here.
Right, okay. In terms of work parties, Caroline, do you reckon that people are, you know, obviously you're in HR, are people being watched on their work party?
I think watched isn't the right word. I think, but I completely get where you're going with this. Normally now, like, we'd advise all our clients in November to say, look, remind people if they are going to be having a social party at this time of year that their behaviour needs to be in keeping with the dignity and respect policy, so that there's no issues from a HR perspective thereafter in breach of dignity and respect. And when people even hear that, people would say to me, "Just Caroline, that had never happened here, you know." But it does.
Famous last
it
words.
Happens, exactly. It happens so much because people forget, no different to social media or the WhatsApp, people forget there's a work context to this. So that if, for example, somebody does say something inappropriate to somebody or sexually harasses somebody, you know, and remember, sexual harassment is equally, you know, saying something or, you know, making an inappropriate comment, etc. So, like, the last thing you want is to come back from your Christmas party and have an allegation made against you that you're now going to have to uphold. So you really need to, I suppose, again, it's back to awareness. Most times if people are aware, then the risk of something happening is less. And the best way to do that is training, no two ways about it. And I'm always advocating, look, do dignity and respect training with your staff. Help them do everything you can to raise the awareness, because in turn, that has a ripple effect.
Okay. Caroline Reedy, Executive Director of the HR Suite. Thanks very much, Caroline, for joining us this afternoon.
A pleasure, as always, Caroline.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Now, I was asking the question earlier on, do you think that smartphones should be banned in primary schools? This is a proposal, I suppose, by Minister Norma Foley, the Minister for Education. She is planning on bringing in a widespread smartphone ban. So a few people have texted in, and Teresa says, yes, they should be banned from all schools. Can't concentrate on your work with them. Yeah, you can't. When I did my thesis in college, I had to leave my phone at home, and I'd go to the library every morning and just, like, not have my phone. People would say, look, I'll meet you at such and such a place at 1 o'clock. And then there I'd be outside the library and I'd go on lunch and then I'd come back. And I got through it really quickly. Now, bear in mind, I did leave it till like the last 3 weeks. So I was under quite a lot of time restraint. But yeah, I do think that your phone, you know, if I had had my phone there, I'd be picking it up every 2 seconds. And then once you click into one thing, you scroll, wasting time, etc. So yeah, no, I definitely think that they should be banned. Now, there's a film industry and streaming platforms are being asked to take action to reduce the impact of outdated stereotypes when scheduling Halloween films and films in general that portray those with visible differences as villains. So the charity Changing Faces, now it's a British charity, but it is campaigning and it has asked the film and TV industries, also big multinationals like Netflix, Prime, BBC, Apple TV, all the big ones, not to be portraying people who are the villains as, you know, with scars or whatnot, maybe in a bad light. So I was thinking back on a few of the villains over the years that I used to watch. Voldemort and Harry Potter, obviously extremely scary if anyone has watched that. Scar in The Lion King, of course, the uncle of Simba, he had like a little scar on his eyebrow. Again, you know, kind of like maybe an uglier line than the others in the film. Again, the villain. Ursula in The Little Mermaid, she was like the sea witch, octopus sea witch. And again, she was, you know, maybe not the most appealing to the eye. I don't know, is that the right way to say it? But you never really see a villain that's portrayed as like the most beautiful person in the film. And then they're the villain. You know, the villain is always like, oh, they have a weird thing on their face or whatnot. So this charity, Changing Faces, is campaigning to change that. And I definitely think that it is a good idea. So you can let me know what you think. 0833 97 97 97. Now, I do have a few messages coming in because if you were listening to the Kildare Today show this morning, Owen was saying that today is my last day on KFM. This is my last show on Kildare Focus. A few people texting in. Beryl texted in to say that she was in tears this morning. So thanks very much, Beryl, for shedding a tear for me. And she said she'll miss me and that I was a breath of fresh air. So thank you very much, Beryl. And it's good to know that there's people listening out there, because sometimes you're in here and you know, you'd be wondering is there anyone listening to you at all, but it's great to know that people are listening in. JD has also said that he will be missed, or I will be missed, and he'll miss me on the radio. So thank you very much, JD, for that, and for all your messages. It was great to have everyone with me listening in, and you'll hear me again soon, chat soon, and I hope everyone has a lovely life. Talk soon. That's all for now.